Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Renner on the play action, looking deep. Going to go to Highsmith, leaping for the touchdown. What a grab!
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Still on his feet at the 30. Bernard is going to score. Oh, my goodness, what a run by Gio Bernard. The wide receiver going to throw it. The Tar Heels pick it off. Trey Boston.
The Good Sports is brought to you by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, your one-stop insurance destination right here in the southern part of heaven. Let the Seagrove's Insurance Agency take care of you. Seagrovesinsurance.com. Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage.
Heels with the lead. Another handoff to Bernard. He's into the secondary. Goodbye.
The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Ron Stutz at Southern Season University Mall. That's where all our pregame shows are broadcast during home games, WCHL. And my blood pressure is soaring because we're ready for Carolina and Virginia Tech football today. And Art C. and Bob Lee, I know you guys are much the same way.
Yeah, we really are. This is, I'm glad
it's not, sense it, Chance.
I'm glad it's not raining, and it's, yeah. Whoever Bob Lee said, I guess you called Bubba Cunningham.
This is our fourth home game. We had two that were sweltering hot. Last week was swelteringly precipitate, rainy. And I called Bubba and I said, Bubba, you know, your predecessor, it was always beautiful on game day. And he said, do you want him to come back? And I said, no. And so now we've got a beautiful day in Chapel. This is really the quintessential Chapel Hill fall game day today.
Well, Rick Steinbacher talked about it earlier. Carolina blue sky could not be more perfect. Maybe a little warm later on in the day, but really just
perfect. I thought it was going to be a Carolina all white sky.
Yeah, well, hey, that
this
might happen.
This is whiteout day.
I don't. Maybe the
sky
will clear when we get out there. I don't know.
Well, but, you know, today, Ron is and Bob Lee is really the beginning of something. It's a beginning of a 4-week span that's going to define, you know, Larry Fedora's first season.
Yeah.
Whether that means anything or not, because, you know, the ACC said this week that even if we win the Coastal Division, we can't win the Coastal Division, whatever that means. So.
Yeah.
But Fedora then came back and said, hey, we're going to play for the Coastal Division, and if we win it, we're going to say we won it. So maybe the NCAA will come on campus because of that.
Yeah, exactly.
But Larry's still counting Elon as part of the state championship.
Yeah, well, he should. They're in state.
But, and East Carolina.
But when you think about Virginia Tech, and we're going to talk about them in a little more detail, they're in a troublesome place right now. They're 3-2. One of the wins is against Bowling Green. And they've got a tough slate themselves to get back to where they've been in the past. But, you know, the question is, you know, they could be in a situation where they might not even have a winning season because they've got some problems. And we hope, statistically, Carolina is in almost every category. Carolina has a statistical advantage, except special teams, where Frank Beamer is an expert. So if the Tar Heels can hold their own on special teams, they have a great chance of winning the game today.
Art, I have to tell you, this, because of our special guest later on, Hokie Jim Alderson, the super Hokie fan, this radio show is being broadcast at the Friday Center to the parking lot there, which is filled with Hokie motorhomes today. And you just said that you just made them as mad as you make state people. The entire Friday parking lot right now is in riot mode.
Well, when two of your three wins are against Austin Peay and Bowling Green, what have you proven? What have you proven?
I think Austin Peay ought to play Idaho for all the marbles.
You've proven nothing.
To play the Texas Rangers.
And on the other hand, at least Virginia Tech's two losses are to non-ACC teams. They're coming in 1-0 in the ACC. Carolina coming in 0-1. So that's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, but they're also 0-2 against the Big East.
Yeah.
Was Dusty Baker coaching the Cincinnati Bearcats? Did Barry Zito play?
But, you know, the idea that Virginia Tech has a history of getting stronger as the season goes on, I mean, this season is slipping away. So it's important that Carolina does not let them reverse their course today. And I have faith that we'll play a game that that will be capable of beating them. And I think it'll be close, but it's a beautiful day. All of the weapons will be at Carolina's disposal today. So,
do we need to talk about Idaho Ho Ho?
I think we just did. I think we used up all the Idaho jokes last week. Now, I got to give my buddy Chansky credit. I thought it was going to be a close game because we weren't going to be up for it, and you know we would win but by a couple of three touchdowns.
Yeah.
We won by a couple of three touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yeah. And well, it was 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. So.
Oh, yeah. But Chansky was right. He said that would be a blowout, and if anything, he underestimated it. It was beyond a blowout.
Did you call up to Idaho and find out how they spent that $800,000 yet? Did you call it?
That's not small potatoes, is it?
I think
$800,000 is not small potatoes.
I think they went to the casino and doubled down on it and see if they could get 1.6.
Well, it was a good win for Carolina, and it's hard to tell how much we get out of it. We certainly get a lot of confidence, and we got to make sure that does not turn into overconfidence.
But it really doesn't help make us bowl eligible, does it?
No, it doesn't help at all. But we got to guard against overconfidence after that game last week. Carolina facing a much tougher opponent today, no matter what Virginia Tech's season has been like. Big step up for the Tar Heels. Why don't we take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk more about this Virginia Tech-Carolina showdown today in Kenan Stadium. Carolina has not beaten the Hokies in Chapel Hill since 1938, and Tar Heel fans are hoping that changes today. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee here at the Southern Season University Mall. It's all presented by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, and we'll be back with more on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor at Top of the Hill. As smooth as a Drabois interception and as sweet as a Carolina victory, Topo Vodka is the perfect complement to your Tar Heel tailgate and victory party. Handcrafted on Franklin Street from only local and organic wheat, Topo is truly the spirit of North Carolina. Ask for Topo Vodka in your local ABC store and fine establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the web at topodistillery.com. Drink local. Drink Topo Vodka. The spirit of North Carolina. Cheers.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the goal line this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't fumble with the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get your jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. So come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Heels.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We operate 21 locations in North Carolina and are headquartered right here in Chapel Hill. You may know us for our 79-cent fountain drink, our sparkling, clean, and friendly stores, but we're just as proud of our community outreach. Earlier this year, we presented $20,000 to local schools and delivered refillable coffee mugs and gas cards to teachers and employees. At Cruisers, we believe being your locally owned convenience store means taking care of our customers, employees, and the people who make a difference in the community.
Cruisers. Good to go.
Yeah, we got a big one coming in with Virginia Tech, a great team coming in here to the Tar Pit this week. So, we got to do a great job of preparation and, got to give it our best.
And it's Coach Larry Fedora. You can bet he's all fired up. I think probably Larry Fedora has had a couple of extra Red Bulls this morning. He's always into that kind of stuff, and he's always ready and excited and ready to go out there and hit somebody himself. Art Chansky and Bob Lee are here. This is The Good Sports on WCHL.
This morning, Larry had white bowls, though.
Really?
Because it's a whiteout today.
Which brings up to a question. You know, we're always talking about the whiteout and everything today. Larry Fedora being synonymous with Red Bull, why hasn't someone come up with Blue Bull for Larry Fedora? Why are we missing this marketing up? Guys, this could be our pet rock. We're going to come out with Ron, Art, and Bob Lee's Blue Bulls for Larry Fedora.
Blue Bulls.
Yeah. Got to be careful. Got to be careful with that one, Chansky.
Good one, Bobby.
I don't want to have to say that.
Well, we'll give that suggestion to the crack marketing staff over at UNC and see what they come up with.
Okay, general public, you heard it from Bob Lee first. We're going to start marketing cans of Blue Bull.
Okay, maybe some money in there. I don't know.
There is a problem. There is a historical and a precedent with doing something different like this. When we brought out the Navy jerseys last year,
yeah.
Everybody went ape and we lost, so we never saw those again. And so what happens if we lose the whiteout game?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, but how about superstition? Everybody, most of Carolina fans like that light blue. A lot of people say it's not mean enough. It's not tough enough, you know. So that's why we're.
Now, Art, back when you and I were matriculating here, this helmet today is that helmet. This is the Danny Talbot, Battle Wall, Gail Bomar. And probably the Don McCauley helmet. I like this helmet.
No. When Dooley came in, he went to the blue helmet.
Not immediately.
Yes, he did.
A couple of years.
Hey, I was there at his first game. It was a blue helmet. Trust me on that.
What are we going to bet? We're going to bet a can of Blue Bowl?
Well, so we'll see, but I think it's going to make a great scene in the stadium. I have to get something off my chest here. Today I was looking at the front page of the News and Observer, and there's another story in there about the academic situation in Carolina. And what's going on with the News and Observer now is they do a story that pretty much regurgitates what's been told all along. And then the next day they call some experts.
Yeah.
And they ask the experts what the NCAA should do about this. And today's experts they call were from the University of Oklahoma, which is probably the most penalized school in the history of the NCAA, and then the University of New Haven, which, you know, I mean, they play big-time sports at University of New Haven. So
certainly.
I just don't get it. Now, they say UNC is talking in conversation with the NCAA, and I hope that's Bubba Cunningham. I really do, because this thing is borderline out of control right now in terms of what they're writing. And the NCAA's policy, to clarify this, has always been if it's an academic situation that includes non-athletes, they've always deemed it an institutional matter that the institution has to take care of themselves. And every single instance, except for that one class where there was only 18 football players in it, in every instance it's been clustering of athletes, but in the same class it was clustering of fratty baggers, clustering of dorm rats, clustering of friends. You know,
fratty baggers.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. So yeah. I don't think there's a whole lot of new news here, and it's really, pardon my French, it's really pissing me off.
Well, can we look for a sports notebook on this?
Yeah, soon? Yeah, you can. You
I think
can.
So too.
Yeah.
You know, my stance
what
on
a
it
fratty
is.
Fratty bagger, Ron.
I suppose
you wouldn't know because you.
No,
you,
I was a dorm.
Because you would have been red-balled.
You were never a fraternity brother, I guess. So, at any rate,
I ran Eringhouse where everybody wore white helmets. I don't know.
My take on this is, let's come on, because all of this stuff. You know, somebody will come up with something else that happened in 1995. I mean, come on. Let's just let the chancellor deal with it now during his last 8.5 months or whatever it is left in his job. Let's just deal with it. Find out everything we need to find out. Deal with it. Make sure it doesn't happen again. And let's move on.
Yeah, and if they're going to do that, they really need to launch an investigation into every single major college football program in the country.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking about the sociology major at Duke, you know, the industrial management major at Georgia Tech. There's every school has one of those majors. When Hokie Jim comes on during his session, we'll ask him what the Crip major is at Virginia Tech.
I got another question related to what you're just talking about. You're talking about the hysteria building, and we all realize that this whole thing is building up.
Yeah.
When Carolina does a coaching search, what do? We do the Dr. Jordan's plane watch, right? There's Dr. Jordan, longtime alumni down in Fayetteville, and he loans his plane, and our AD used it to fly around and find coaches, supposedly, according to legend. So we watch Dr. Jordan's plane. Are we going to start the President Emmert plane watch now? Is when are the NCAA goons going to land again at Chapel Hill Airport? It's reaching that level of hysteria.
Well, President Emmert, let me tell you, President Emmert, if he's doing anything, he needs to look into the Duke situation, because the Duke situation looks to me like that impermissible benefit. If that's an impermissible benefit for Lance Thomas, that's more than all of the impermissible benefits that we got penalized for in total.
Right now, Lance Thomas and probably everybody at Duke loves what's going on in Carolina because nobody's talking about the Lance Thomas situation.
Right, exactly.
Is it true that Lance Thomas bought a tennis bracelet for Tammy Hansbrough? I read that somewhere.
All right, so I got that off my chest. Now let's talk about the game a little bit more.
Yeah, Virginia Tech coming to town today. First thing I always think about when I think of Virginia Tech is special teams. Mm-hmm. Frank Beamer's trademark. What do you guys think?
Well, again, they lead. The only statistic they lead Carolina in is in the special teams, in punting and punt returns, and it's close, too. But the Tar Heels are really, they're way in front in almost every other statistical category. And the Tar Heels, I know they played Elon, I know they played Idaho, but, you know, Virginia Tech played, you know, they played Bowling Green, and they played Austin Peay. So I think these two 3-2 teams are pretty comparable. What's the line, Bob Lee? Do you know the line?
I thought that we were actually two up. Is that right, Jim? We are two up over the Hokies.
Wow. Well, it should be interesting. And, you know, when both teams are so good at special teams play, it means a certain degree of unpredictability. Predictable unpredictability we have.
Well, talk about
today.
Predictability. Here we are, these first week in October, and you can tell Virginia Tech is having an off year when Bud Foster is not being mentioned to replace Rex Ryan as head coach of the New York Jets. I mean, Bud Foster head coach watch is tradition in the ACC, and nobody's after Bud right now.
Yeah, it is kind of uncharacteristic.
As a segue to this, the one statistical category that worries me a little bit is that Virginia Tech is ranked higher than Carolina in pass defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Tar Heels, if they're gonna succeed, they have to have the balance between running and passing today. So Fedora said it, they've got to avoid the turnovers, right? And they've got to run the ball and have good balance on offense and then win the special teams battle. If they do that, you know, they come away with a victory. Now, when you think about the stretch that they're facing, right, they go next week, they go to Miami. The following week, they go to Duke, which is no floozy this year, right?
Nope.
And then, of course, you know, Bob Lee knows who's coming in here on October 27th. And those four games, today, at Miami, at Duke, and the Wolfies here, is going to define Larry Fedora's first season.
I think one of the keys today is for Carolina to get off to a good start. And you talked about the balance between the passing game and the running game, and a guy who can beat you not only with his arm but also his legs is Logan Thomas, the huge Virginia Tech quarterback. What do you think of him?
Last time we played a quarterback like that, wasn't it Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio here, and Butch's first game, or game in the rain, in fact.
Yeah.
Chansky, you're our Freddie Kiger expert.
And even he wasn't as big as Logan Thomas.
I don't think Logan Thomas is as big as Bob Lee when you think about it.
How big was Chris Kelldorff? There's a name out of there.
Yeah, really.
Or Deems May when he came as a quarterback and then became a provocateur.
But if the 4-2-5 puts pressure on Thomas, he's really, he's not that accurate of a thrower. And, we could give him problems. But, again, if he pulls it down and finds some seams to run through, yeah, that's a problem. So it's got to be an overall performance today. To beat a team like Virginia Tech, which has a lot of pride on the line after what happened to them against Cincinnati last week, it's got to be an overall effort.
They're going to kind of come in here angry and extra determined to get a win today. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, one of the keys is for Carolina to get off to a good start.
Right. And if Fedora comes riding in on a blue bull, then you'll know.
It'll be a white bull. It's a whiteout day. Guys, come on. Steiny spends millions promoting whiteout, and we keep talking blue. Come on, guys. Speaking of Virginia Tech quarterbacks, did I not read where Little Vic Jr. got arrested for something else this week? Yeah, Little Marcus had got arrested for some felony he hadn't done yet.
Yeah, really? He was trying to get into an Eagles game, I think, and his brother wouldn't let him in.
Hey, is this whiteout thing going to make any difference today?
It made a difference on how I dressed, and I noticed Barry and Little Barry and Art, we're all in white, and the only people not in white are two Hokie guys and you, Stutt.
Well, I couldn't find my shirt this morning. You know, so.
There's a shirt, a white shirt, 97.9, a white shirt, for goodness sake.
Maybe I'll put that on in a few minutes.
Yeah, I think
babies are great.
I think the players do like it. I think they get excited about, the Oregon players change uniforms every week because of Phil Knight and Nike, but I think it's exciting to the players. But once they get out on the field, and once that ball is kicked, it really doesn't matter what color they're wearing.
I think you're right. Hey, listen, we got to mention one thing before we get to a break here. First of all, Roy Williams, we're happy to find out that this tumor on the other kidney is benign, and Roy will not need another surgery. They had another biopsy, and everything turned out fine. So Roy now can concentrate on just getting better, getting back into game shape, and being ready for October 12th, which is late night with Roy, followed by the very first practice, October 13th.
That's right.
Everybody should be excited about that.
That's the momentum changer right there. That's the good news that we needed moving forward. So.
All right. Yeah, it's about time we got some good news, isn't it?
Great job, Coach.
All right. Coach, we're all thinking about you. And Bob Lee is going to come back, and he's thinking about all kinds of things. I shuddered to think. And he also has lined up some special guests today. Hokie Jim Alderson is here with us. We'll talk with him coming up on WCHL. Our pregame coverage always presented by your friends at the Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency in Chapel Hill. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Rod Stutz, and we'll be back at Southern Season University Mall right after this.
Is your free checking account costing you money? If you are required to maintain an average balance or inconvenienced by limited transactions, you should visit Harrington Bank. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Experience true community banking, where everyone knows your name and it doesn't cost you to bank with us. To learn more, visit one of our three convenient locations in Southern Village, Farrington Road, or Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
At Southern States Volkswagen of Durham, we're your one-stop shop to find the new Volkswagen or quality pre-owned vehicle you've been looking for. We've got over 200 new Volkswagens to choose from, including Beetles, Jettas, Rutans, and more. And if we don't have it, we'll be glad to find it for you. And with deals like ours, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Get to Southern States Volkswagen of Durham today or visit us on the web at vwofdurham.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill. Top of the Hill helped forge the North Carolina microbrewing renaissance, and we are now proud to lead the state in micro distilling. Our organic Topo Vodka is handcrafted from scratch in our Franklin Street distillery using only local organic soft red winter wheat. Ask for it in your local ABC store and fine establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or the web, topodistillery.com. Drink local, drink Topo Vodka, the spirit of North Carolina. Cheers!
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org.
UNC Family Medicine. Being here for weekend warriors is just one part of caring for the course of your life.
The Jeffrey McDonald murder case is one of the most notorious in the last century. McDonald pled innocent but was convicted in 1979 of murdering his wife and children and sentenced to life in prison. McDonald now claims new evidence, and the case is back in court and in the headlines. Tomorrow afternoon at 3, WCHL will repeat one of the most riveting stories ever aired on WCHL with Wade Smith and Jim Blackburn. Hear it tomorrow afternoon at 3 at 97.9 FM WCHL. It's a modern saga you won't want to miss.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
This is Carolina Football on your flagship station for the Tar Heels, 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
You know, we do what we've been doing, you know, continue to, you know, hit the film room, you know, continue to get practice, continue to do what we usually do. And I think, you know, just because, you know, it's another ACC game doesn't, you know, we shouldn't change anything up. It's just the mentality. You know, we're excited to have, you know, VTech coming in here. You know, we have a whiteout we have going on here. So we're pretty excited for this entire thing.
That is the voice of Gio Bernard. We hope he makes his voice heard today at Keenan Stadium on the field. Before we get to our special guest on our next segment here on The Good Sports with RC and Bob Lee, I want to mention that Brian Chakos, who talked with us during our pregame coverage during Countdown to Kickoff, Brian Chakos, former Tar Heel offensive lineman, will be joining us as co-host with Paul Connell of On the Heels, our postgame coverage on WCHL. And, you know, this guy knows Tar Heel football like most people don't, and he will have some interesting things to say, always articulate and always a nice guy, and we appreciate that. Brian Chakos with Paul Connell, co-host of On the Heels, after the network has done its job today, right here on WCHL, the flagship station for Carolina. Now I'm going to turn it over to Bob Lee, who has this week's special guest.
Well, it is my very special honor to have with us Hokie Jim Alderson. Now, the best way to describe Hokie Jim Alderson is that he has been insulted for years by being called the Bob Lee of Hokie Nation, which basically is an insult to both of us, and we enjoy it because we troll for insults. Now, before you start talking, Hokie Jim, I want us all, everyone in Radio Land, to look at this big poster we've got right beside us that's got Larry Fedora promoting our new 97.9 FM. Hokie Jim, does our coach have bigger biceps than your coach?
Of course, certainly. But I want to know.
Thank you, Hokie Jim. And now moving right along.
Does anybody call you the Jim Alderson of Tar Heel Nation?
No, they call him to my face, they don't.
Call him a lot worse. A lot worse.
I'm known as the crazy guy that works with Chansky. So then you know where.
Yep, that explains that.
Where, yeah. No, Jim has been doing a blog called the A-Line for years, and it is somewhat controversial. There are people within Hokie Nation that don't necessarily agree with his pretty much tell-it-like-it-is viewpoint, and that's why he and I have become such good friends, because we both view the Internet crowd in much the same way, and we both received bountiful threats from them, correct?
Occasionally, yes.
But we go after that. So anyway, we got a lot of questions. I know Art's got some about some of the situations that your coach might have had with UNC a few years ago, a little incident that came up. And then we've got some other stuff about Hokie Nation and how the bandwagon is being jumped off of right now because you've had some issues. But, Art, why don't you hit him with that Dickie Bedore situation?
Well, I will, but I do want to just, as a summary, what is the state of Hokie Nation today, Hokie Jim?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Those of us who have been around for a while, it's still football. We're having a good time. We're traveling to the games. Now, the younger people, we've been to 19 straight bowl games. The younger fans just take winning 10, 11 games a year as an entitlement. And they're not happy.
Well, you know, the Cincinnati drive at the end of the game last week has to really have shocked Hokie Nation, because who drives 90 yards against the Hokies in 1 minute?
Well, sitting there watching it, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it was tough. That was a tough loss.
I mean,
Pittsburgh wasn't. What do you call Pittsburgh as a loss? One of your former Big East buddies.
We are 9 years out of the Big East, and we still can't beat Pittsburgh. So,
well, at least that one didn't come down to the last minute of the game.
No,
nope, that was decided pretty early.
Well, you know, you've been around a long time, and I want to bring this story up because it really is interesting to Carolina fans who remember in 2000 when Carl Torbush finished his 3 years here at Carolina after he took our program from number 4 under Mac Brown to number 104 in 3 years. We needed to make a change, and Frank Beamer's agent, who's the deceased agent these days, is called Dick Bedore in the middle of the 2000 season and wanted to know that even if Carl Torbush finished with a 6-5 record, could you fire a 6-5 football coach? And Dick Bedore said, for Frank Beamer, I could. And he was told that Beamer was very interested in the job because he was frustrated with situations at Virginia Tech, and he thought that he had taken the Hokies as far as he could, and he thinks, as everybody does, Carolina's a sleeping giant, and there was a lot of potential down here.
How many times have we heard that?
And he came to Chapel Hill and actually toured the campus, and they shook hands, and he said he was going back to Blacksburg to tell his team and the administration that he was leaving. And when he got back, tell us what happened about that.
Well, the Board of Visitors got together, and they discussed it in executive session, and they unanimously decided to call and ask me what we should do. And I suggested I might want to keep Frank, and so the rest is history.
But what was the real turning point in terms of, was it giving Beamer things that he had been frustrated about prior to that?
There are a lot of different stories, and quite frankly, I don't know.
Tell us the most juicy one that indicts the most people.
Well,
it was a change of presidents, right?
He saw Franklin Street, and I can't come there.
Franklin Street is better than whatever the street is in Blacksburg, you're saying?
Well, it looks exactly like Main Street in Blacksburg, but
let me give you some juice from our standpoint in that. And while all this was going on, James Meza was a new chancellor who was in his first semester, and he was called on the carpet by the faculty and said, "You're going to pay Frank Beamer what?" And do you realize his graduation rate at Virginia Tech is 35%? And at that time, right after that, Beamer said he wasn't coming. So our chancellor said, no, no, we're not hiring Beamer. We're hiring somebody else. You'll be happy with who we're hiring, and you'll be happy with what we're paying who we're hiring. And that coach turned out to be John Bunning, who earned half of what Frank Beamer was offered. And that's
won about half the games.
Right, exactly. Less than half the games. And that leads the whole story to, you know, 6 years later, why, in fact, that we felt we had to pass the hat, and Bob Lee had to ante up a couple of shekels to bring Butch Davis in here.
Bring back John Bunning.
But anyway, it's interesting because Frank, if things had gone the other way, Frank Beamer could be the coach of Carolina.
Frank Beamer has always been a fan of Carolina. Growing up in Hillsville, he has said a number of times that he would have gone to Carolina had they offered him a scholarship, which they didn't, which is why he ended up at Virginia Tech. But he has always been a fan of Carolina.
Well, there's a lot of connection between the two, between your schools. Obviously, Bill Dooley went up there. And he took
Sandy. We appreciate Bill Dooley.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. And he took Jack Williams with him, and he took a couple of other, took Sandy Kinney. Then you got your, we've got a former running back up there, Billy Height, who's been there forever.
We kept Billy Height, threw the rest back.
Billy Height is now making more than our former vice president of development. But anyway, and then we've got, another guy up there who was a coach at University of North, which would be a great trivia question. Which former UNC quarterback coach is now the quarterback coach at Virginia Tech? Art, do you know that answer?
I do not know that
Mike
answer.
O'Kane.
Oh, Mike O'Kane. Well, are you calling him a former UNC
He was.
I know.
Was Torbush's buddy.
I
they
know.
Hugged the whole thing. You gave Mike
about
a job.
20 minutes. 1 year, but he still kept his house in Raleigh. He was the former head coach at NC State. Come on, you can't really call him the former quarterback coach.
I just go by the records. It's there.
Please.
Kirshner said he was here. I don't know. Kevin Best. Ask Kevin Best. It's
I know he was,
you guys.
I know he was here, but we really can't call him.
Cokie
he was
Jim, here we're losing it here, Cokie Jim. You need to come in and bail us out.
He was here for a big
I thought
call.
I was the guest
I
here.
I got a question. All right, you're dealing up there in Virginia. You're a land-grant school, engineering, agriculture, whatnot. You've got another school that Mr. Jefferson founded a few miles away that's a liberal arts school filled with lawyers and doctors and people who think a lot of themselves. Is there a comparison you can make between Virginia Tech and Virginia and maybe UNC and, I don't know, some land-grant school about 28 miles east of here?
Well, I'm not sure that the University of Virginia is our big rival. They haven't beaten us since Mr. Jefferson was president there, or roughly about the last time Carolina beat State in football. Yeah, we're just
– pull the mic, Stutz. Pull the mic.
He's being awfully cavalier, isn't he?
That's the worst thing you can say to a
No, I know. In reading Jim's column over the years, he delights nothing more than just taking a ball bat and swinging at any who and he can find, and they can't come back at him. And he is just merciless. He puts who's on a spit and just roasts them.
They keep presenting us with such excellent targets of opportunity. Who can resist?
Well, hey, I'm really interested to find out what's your take and what is the take of Virginia Tech folks about all the hubbub of activity that's been going on surrounding Carolina's football program.
Well, I think probably Chancellor Thorpe has determined you're probably not going to be applying to the SEC anytime soon. So,
and that's all you have to say on that?
Are we going to become VMI or Washington Lee or William and Mary, though, is more the question.
Perhaps not Alabama or LSU.
No,
we're gonna become exactly what we should be, and maybe it hasn't, hasn't been what we needed to be the last few years. But you know, people are panicking about the fact that he made that statement, and we are not going to eliminate all exceptions for athletes. We're just going to raise the bar to where it should be, so we have some kids in school who, don't belong here.
We have been in this situation when the end of the Bill Dooley, and like I say again, we certainly appreciate you guys sending us Bill Dooley. But when Frank Beamer first got to Tech, we're on probation. We're in serious trouble. And they had raised academic standards. And Frank lost like a big dog his first few years up here.
He was nearly fired, isn't that right?
Well, it took him to his seventh year to get to a bowl game.
Wow. It's sort of like the Dean Smith situation when he came to Carolina in the basketball
program. Pretty much exactly like
so
that.
So you guys know what it's like to have a lot of heat on your program and a lot of heat on your school and all your rivalries, all your rivals just piling on.
Oh, yeah, we were aware of that. So I look at this.
Jim, you mentioned earlier you guys led. You were the first one of the Big East to come into the ACC 9 years ago.
Yep.
All right, now we've got two more coming next year, Pitt and Syracuse. What do you think about that? And what do you think about this other new one we've got coming in from South Bend? I need Hokie Jim on the Notre Dame invasion.
Well, since we can't beat Pitt, I would have invited somebody else from the Big East.
Like West Virginia? You love the cousins up in Morgantown. We could see how many couches we could burn.
I would think in terms of Rutgers or Temple. But Notre Dame, I think, is the right thing to do. It's going to help the ACC all the way around. It's another highly regarded academic school. They will be playing football games against ACC schools, which will help the television contract. I think it's just – and they will eventually join for football.
They may, you know, if they don't get their contract renewed by NBC. The question that I have is if you call back to the original expansion, Virginia Tech wasn't in it. It was BC, Pittsburgh – BC, Miami, and Syracuse. And then all of a sudden – we wake up one morning and Virginia Tech's in the ACC. Now, follow that from your insider look.
Well, just, you know, don't mess with Virginia Tech. That's the and how well has Miami worked out over the years?
Well,
the ACC is where we've always wanted to be. We felt it was our natural home. And obviously, when you look at all the maroon that's been going around this shopping center today, there are a lot of Hokies down here. We just always felt like we belonged in the ACC. The ACC, John Swofford had television consultants that told him otherwise.
I made a remark earlier to Rick Steinbacher during a pregame show that Virginia Tech has always traveled well. You'll see lots of maroon in the stadium today. And he said this year, believe it or not, they returned 1,800 tickets to Carolina. So what's going on there?
Well, there are probably some people out on 54 right there who are leaping from the bandwagon.
But
you lose a couple of games and look what happens.
We promised that if we brought you here today that we would mention your buddies out there at the Friday Center, the Clubhouse Gang, Clota and the boys out there, the best group of guys for tailgating I've ever been. I've known the Clubhouse bunch, and they're just going nuts right now. They're turning backflips right now. We're talking about them on the big-time radio. They are a great bunch of guys that really know how to tailgate.
We've got a group of seven or eight RVs that go to all games, home or away. Been doing it for years, and Senior Hokie has just gotten through with our morning ritual of communion, and the Grill Master, and it's a great group.
They do it right. It's a big, fun group, and that's how Jim and I got to know each other and all these other guys. And he even brought his posse today, part of his brother Tom, and gives us two Hokies in Southern Season. I think that's the most Hokies that ever been in Southern Season.
Oh, they've been coming in and out all morning.
Or any store with fine china in it.
Last question before we go.
Like Blue Bulls and a china shop, we could say.
We got to take a break, but last question before we do go. You lost Seth Greenberg as your basketball coach. What was your reaction to that?
Finally.
Really?
Well, yeah, Seth was a controversial character. He's now with ESPN predicting
He should have been in the first place.
Exactly.
Because he'll be good. He'll be very good at that.
He and Dino Gaudio are going to team up. Former ACC basketball coaches now turned analysts.
Is basketball at Virginia Tech an afterthought, really? Is it something they play in the winter to go indoors?
It's just not as important as football to us.
Mm-hmm.
But football takes a second seat behind basketball here, and we're exactly the opposite.
I think football, it does take a second seat, but I don't think it's an afterthought like basketball might be at Virginia Tech. But we got to go, Ron. So.
I think Seth Greenberg is going to be one of those guys we talked about on last week's show who actually does better at broadcasting than he did in the coaching ranks.
He already has.
He's a really creative guy. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with more of our pregame coverage here at Southern Season, University Mall, Carolina, and Virginia Tech coming up at 12:30 today in Keenan Stadium. You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Rod Stutz, back with more on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Integrate, to bring together parts into a whole. At Duke Integrative Primary Care, our expert physicians, trained in the very best medicine has to offer, partner with you to combine conventional medicine and whole person care so you can live each day in the best possible health. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all, and now accepting insurance. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life.
I'm Kevin Cohan of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Eric White.
Hey, Kev. What do you like most about living in Chapel Hill and working at Franklin Street Realty?
Well, Eric, for me, it's really about the people. Before real estate, I spent many years as the general partner of an investment firm interacting with a computer screen. Now, I really enjoy connecting with my clients and brainstorming with the great group of agents at Franklin Street Realty.
I agree. You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life in Chapel Hill, and the second 20 years spent mostly on Hilton Head Island running my marketing company, which specialized in real estate. I finally found my way back home. I love this town. So glad to be a Tar Heel again.
I know what you mean. I spent a few years overseas and in New York, but my heart never left the hill. It's great to know a place like the back of your hand, and it's really cool to be raising my family in the same great town where I grew up.
I hear you. You know, I feel like I am Chapel Hill.
And I am a true blue Tar Heel.
And we are Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Really, why would you?
Ah, day off, nothing to do. Time to relax.
Honey, here's your list of things to do today.
Oh, great.
Hey, no need to punt. Drop back and go long to Fitz Lumber and Hardware. We have always insisted on supplying the most valuable building products backed by our fast-paced, no-huddle service. Come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Or check us out online at fitzlumber.com to help get your game plan together. Now go long.
Renner gets the snap, hands off to Bernard. Big hole near side, he's at the 40. Geo, 45, 50, he might go. He's at the 40. Geo to the 30, 20, goodbye. Touchdown, Carolina.
This is the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're broadcasting live from Southern Season University Mall in Chapel Hill, getting ready for Carolina and Virginia Tech today. And as we get into our next segment of the show here, we're talking about the greatest Tar Heel football player of all time. We have something really special going on at WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. And make sure you take part in Chapelboro's Tar Heel All-Star Football Bracket. It's sort of set up like the NCAA basketball tournament. I think everybody knows how that works. We took the top 64 Tar Heel football players of all time. People are voting. People get eliminated each week. And now, Art Chansky, we are down to the Sweet 16. Tell us how all this is working.
We are, and it is sweet. Let me tell you, when you get these players, they'll all be memorable in terms of Carolina fans. Like, we have four quadrants. I know Bob Lee doesn't know what a quadrant is, but it's one of four. Okay, we have two defensive quadrants and two offensive quadrants. Now, two and two equals four.
You got quadrant.
It? You got
quadrant.
Quadrants.
Is that something you put butter and marmalade on for breakfast? No, that's a croissant. Okay.
No, you're quadrant. Thinking about margarine okay. Quarters.
All right, in our first defensive coordinate, we're down to the Sweet 16. So we're going to talk about eight in each quadrant here now.
Okay.
We're down to the top seed, Lawrence Taylor, versus the 13th seed, Tommy Thigpen. Now, Lawrence Taylor, of course, had a fantastic college career, but he's a little bit like Michael Jordan in the sense that he had a better pro career than he had a college career. Everybody, more people remember him for his on the field and off the field.
But to be credit, he was a beast when he was here.
Yeah, he was fantastic here. But he's up against Tommy Thigpen, who was the 13th seed, who pulled an upset along the way. But he's now an assistant coach at Auburn. He was an assistant coach here, but he was an all-ACC linebacker when he was here. So it's 1 versus 13, Lawrence LT versus Tommy Thigpen.
You going to put us on the spot?
Yeah. I want to put you on the spot. Who are you going to pick?
Let me say, first of all, you can jump into this thing anytime. You do not have to have participated since the very beginning.
True. That's correct.
You can jump in each round, and you can participate in this, and you can not only have a chance to picking the all-time greatest, but also win some great prizes each week. So, that having been said, Lawrence Taylor versus Tommy Thigpen.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tommy Thigpen. He was a great Carolina linebacker, but no way can I pick him over Lawrence Taylor. I think LT has to move
on.
Well,
you know, and we've said from the beginning, there is no criteria for this. It's not good citizen, best grades, most tackles. It's whatever you think.
Yeah.
And LT is one of the most famous and, in a way, infamous players in the history of Carolina football.
He was dumb.
But if you just look at his on-field performance, there hasn't been anyone on a defensive standpoint that was more dominant as a defensive player than Lawrence Taylor.
He was an
period.
Awesome player,
period.
Even in a Carolina uniform. I can remember plays, seeing him make
chasing this guy all the way down the line, jumping on his back. I mean, the guy was
okay,
amazing.
Okay, you brought up, and this ties into something we talked about early. If I had to pick the best Carolina uniform, I would pick today's helmet. No, white with blue, but the Dick Crum uniforms. Chansky, you remember those with the numbers on the top of the shoulder pads. The Lawrence Taylor uniform, I thought, was the best Carolina uniform.
I'm glad you brought that back to Lawrence Taylor because you were way off point.
Well, let's start talking the infield fly rule later on.
And when they played for Dick Crum, all the players had to wear glasses.
Exactly.
But we're getting off track here. Right. But what else?
I pick Lawrence Taylor in that one. The next one is this is a great one because it's the third seed, Greg Ellis, defensive end, and the second seed, defensive back, Dre Bly. And both of them were great at Carolina. Dre was obviously more flashy because he was a DB and he made a lot of key interceptions. But they both had, I don't know, Greg Ellis probably had a better pro career than Dre Bly.
Well, arguably. Dre Bly, I think, made a Pro Bowl for a couple of years there when he was with Detroit. But you're looking at Greg Ellis, who was part of that never-ending series of great Carolina defensive tackles from Marcus Jones to Greg Ellis to Julius Peppers. They just sort of all flowed into one. And then Robert Quinn there for a year.
And Ellis, he's an all-time Carolina leader in sacks. So that's
and
very
the leader in
thing.
Sacks of anyone who went to East Wake High School.
Mm-hmm.
I would vote for Greg Ellis, but that's totally a pick 'em. Both of them, again, anybody at this level was going to have a series of fans, of people who remember some great moment in Keenan Stadium.
You know, when they do those video things in Keenan Stadium, when they say, I'm Greg Ellis, I'm a Tar Heel, and then I'm Dre Bly, I'm a Tar Heel, Dre Bly gets just wild applause. Everybody goes crazy when Dre Bly is up there. I'm going to have to go with Dre Bly, although they were both great players. Greg Ellis, great pro career, everything else, but Dre Bly still got to be my pick.
I'll go with you. I'll go with Dre Bly on that because he was one of the guys who really took Mac Brown's program to the next level.
And the only player we've ever had named Dre.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next quarter on defense is Julius Peppers, the first seed, versus the 12th seed, Buddy Curry, who was played in the 70s. And let me tell you something. Buddy Curry was a terrific linebacker.
Yes, he was.
He was very, very popular. He was very, very good. He's from Atlanta. He was an all-ACC player. But he's going against arguably the best defensive player we've ever had.
Well, can I take that one first? Because yeah. Buddy Curry was one of the first players that I actually got to know when I was during my early days here at Carolina. Buddy Curry, one of the nicest guys in the world, and he was fierce on the field. But I don't think you can compare him to
– Well, Peppers is a Lombardi Award winner. He's the best defensive player.
And Buddy also had a great career with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, he did.
And he's now in his post-playing career. He's doing a lot of youth work. He puts on youth camps and I saw him about a year or so ago. A super nice guy, but Julius Peppers is Julius Peppers.
Well, how many times is a 1 beat a 12 in the NCAA tournament? Not very often. So let's go with Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers would beat anybody in that match.
Now, here's an interesting one because we've got two defensive tackles who actually followed each other at Carolina. Donnell Thompson, who played in the late 70s, and then William Fuller, who played in the early 80s. They were both great all-ACC players. They both went on and played in the NFL. Who do you think? This is the second seed in Fuller versus the sixth seed in Donnell Thompson. What do you remember, Ron?
Well, what
go
I
back
remember,
in your memory back.
Donnell Thompson is another of those guys that I had the opportunity to get to know a lot better than I did William Fuller. Donnell Thompson is a great guy. William Fuller, they were both great players, and I'm going to go with an upset on this one. I'm going to go with Donnell Thompson. 6'6", 270 pounds. You know, I love watching that guy play. I used to focus on him and watch what
he's still in this area, and I know you're picking him because you're afraid he'll come over here.
But Donnell Thompson also owns more McDonald's franchises than William Fuller does, and I think that's a reason enough. He's been a very, very successful in business after his playing career.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but I think the two of them, if you put them together, most fans would just sort of see them together. They're both big. They both play the same position. They were both very dominant in their eras. So I think most fans probably would just see Donnell Fuller. I mean, they were just – I'd say that as a compliment to both of them. They were just part of that great defensive tradition that that Mack Brown we had for those years.
I'm going with William Fuller based on the fact that he was consensus All-American as a senior.
Yeah.
That's
aren't both of them in the Ring of Honor?
I'll go with Donnell Thompson at an upset, but I can certainly understand the other side.
All right, now we're into the Sweet 16. Now we're moving over into the offensive side, and we've got Charlie Justice, number one seed, versus T.J. Yates, who, of course, came from unknown status to be a record-breaking quarterback at Carolina. He's the number eight seed. Now, ones do lose to eights in the NCAA tournament, and Charlie Justice is somebody that people remember the name, but they've never really seen him play. So could T.J. Yates win this one, Bob Lee? Could he?
No, because he choo-choo is choo-choo.
All right.
I had a lot of respect for T.J. Yates. I think he had a great career. I got really sick and tired of hearing people put him down. He contributed a lot. He did a great job at quarterback for Carolina for the most part. But I'll have to go with Choo Choo as well, just because he's a legend. Obviously, I never saw him play.
T.J. needed a neat nickname like that. If it had been Choo Choo Yates, maybe.
But, you know, it's hard to knock out Charlie Choo Choo Justice.
Mm. All right. So now we get the next one. We have the second seed Amos Lawrence against 11 seed Harris Barton, an offensive tackle who was all ACC. And if I might say so, the best Jewish player in the history of Tar Heel football.
You can certainly say
he has more Super Bowl rings than anyone.
He's been in the NFL. He spent a lot of time in the NFL, that's for sure.
He blocked for Joe Montana.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Harris Barton.
And was a super student.
He was a super student.
He was an outstanding academic.
Harris Barton was a great player, had a great NFL career, but Famous Amos is Famous Amos, and I have to go with Famous Amos.
All right. The next matchup is our guest from last week, Don McCauley, the top seed in that quadrant, versus Ron Wooten, an offensive guard who played in the NFL for a long time. And I know it's hard to compare a tailback to an offensive guard, but they were both all ACC. McCauley is a legend. He was the first 23 here before the other 23 came along. So, obviously, we got to go with Don McCauley.
Yeah,
you
Don
agree?
McCauley all the way.
And I've had lunch with both of them in the last 3 weeks.
Really?
I'm the only one here in this show that has had lunch with both of those guys in the last 3 weeks.
And I bet you didn't pick up one of the checks.
Not at all.
He had Ron Wooten run interference for it.
And they've both been very successful after their playing careers were over.
Yeah.
All right, now the last pick we're going to talk about here is number 6, Natron Means, a tailback, versus the second seed, Kelvin Bryant, a tailback. Both of them.
Wow.
Both of them. Kelvin was a star during the Dick Crum era and was just a sensational player. Went on to play in the NFL for the Redskins and other teams. Natron Means played in the NFL. He was the program turner for Mack Brown in the late 80s and played in all the way through when Mack finally got a bowl team on the field.
I have a memory in the Wally over at Duke, and I guess it was his senior year, of Natron Means coming right to the middle of the line and just – Duke players just bouncing off his thighs. He had these huge thighs and big thigh guards, and just they were just bouncing off of him like bugs off a windshield, and he ran right out the middle of the field for 60 yards. I think it's going to be Kelvin Bryant because people think of all his touchdowns.
I'm going to say Kelvin Bryant as well. Natron Means was amazing. It's amazing how different those two running backs were. I mean, completely different style. Natron was a bowling ball, and Kelvin was incredibly fast. And you did not mention his outstanding career in the AFL with Philadelphia Stars before he even played in the
Along
NFL.
With John Bunny.
So, yeah, and, but Kelvin Bryant all the way. I'll never forget those 6 touchdowns against East Carolina when he kept handing the football to Steve Streeter.
That's how things get embarrassed.
That's one of my most vivid memories.
He did it once. He didn't hand it to him 6 times. He did it once.
He may have not, but he scored 6 times. And I'll never forget, that was one of the most emotional moments I've ever experienced in Kenan Stadium when he did hand the ball to Steve Streeter.
All right, go to the bracket on chapelbar.com to pick the number one football player in Tar Heel history, and we'll be back next week with the Elite Eight.
All right, this is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're going to come back for our final round, including the 2-Minute Drill on WCHL, broadcasting live at Southern Season University Mall. Back with more in just a moment on 97.9 FM WCHL.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. If your morning includes a stop at the coffee shop, we invite you to try our premium coffees without the wait at Cruiser's. Our Chapel Hill North store is now serving lattes, mochas, and cappuccinos featuring locally roasted coffee from Larry's Beans. Get them hot or cold and add a shot of chocolate, vanilla, or caramel. Pick up a fresh baked biscuit, pastry, or muffin, and you'll be sure to start your day right. Join us for real coffee, real quick, at Cruiser's in Chapel Hill North.
Cruiser's. Good to go.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard this before, but how does it relate to your bank? Harrington Bank is one of the only banks in the Triangle who truly provides free checking. Our competitors say free, but they require you to maintain a hefty balance or limit your transactions. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Stop by one of our 3 convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn more. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
at Southern States Volkswagen of Durham, where your one-stop shop to find the new Volkswagen or quality pre-owned vehicle you've been looking for. We've got over 200 new Volkswagens to choose from, including Beetles, Jettas, Rutans, and more. And if we don't have it, we'll be glad to find it for you. And with deals like ours, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Get to Southern States Volkswagen of Durham today or visit us on the web at vwofdurham.com.
First down, Tar Heels with the flea flicker, gave it to Bernard, back to Renner, deep to Tapley for the touchdown.
All right, back now with the Good Sports RC and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, and the two-minute drill is upon us, and what we always do is talk about the top two other games to watch this weekend. In addition to Carolina and Virginia Tech, Bob Lee, what are you watching?
I got to watch Mac tonight, Texas versus West Virginia. That's going to be an incredible game down in Austin, and I'm thinking that Texas Max Longhorns, dressed in all white like our Carolina team today, will beat the high-scoring Mountaineers.
All right.
And my second game is going to be Duke, Virginia at the Wally at 3 o'clock. Duke, can Duke continue their juggernaut run through the ACC?
What about you, Art?
Well, I love the Texas-West Virginia game because that could eclipse the West Virginia-Baylor game last week in points scored, as you said. But I'm most interested in the State-FSU game because I think the Seminoles are really good. I think they are back to where they were when they were class in this country and a potential national championship, and they will beat the dog slop out of the Wolfpack tonight.
Dog slop. That's a new word.
Talk about getting close to the line. Dog slop, and he did piss off earlier. I'm telling you guys.
Is there anything? Everybody's happy with Larry Fedora. I'm very happy with Larry Fedora, excited about his regime. Is there anything that we can be critical of when it comes to the coach?
I can't, but again, that's why God invented fan forums like Inside Carolina and stuff, that they'll find something good. Personally, I can find nothing critical about Larry Fedora. I think he's done an outstanding job, and bully for him and all of his Blue Bulls.
Except that he's drinking Red Bull instead of Blue Bull.
There you go.
What are they saying about him in the blogosphere?
I don't know. I don't go to those places. That's what I depend on you for. I used to pick from the Roto Rooter. You're always waiting around in sewage almost. There.
Anything you can criticize him for?
Well, the standard criticism is, Gio Bernard returned punts the first game and he got injured early. Did he do too much the first game, causing him to sit out those two games? Because, really, when you think about it, you think there's some excitement about Carolina football? If we had made one more defensive stop at Wake Forest and finished one more offensive drive at Louisville, we'd be 5-0 today, and this place would be pretty insane. So, I don't know whether he overused Gio versus Elon, but as soon as he was healthy, he went back to punt returning last week in the rain. So,
if that's all you can come up with, then I guess we're not being too critical.
And he's wearing blue on the sideline, so we can't even be critical.
Well, he does. You know why he does that? He always think about this. He always wears the opposite color shirt from the team.
So the players can find the head
coach. So the players can find the coaches on the sideline easily.
All right.
Okay.
Now, you already mentioned the juggernaut, Duke juggernaut. How many games are they going to win this year?
They've won four. They're going to win five. They're going to win today, and then that's going to be it for the season.
How about you, Art?
Nah, they're going to win six, at least six, maybe seven. Duke's going to a bowl.
All right, let's go
Christmas
to
and Shreveport predictions. For the Blue Devils.
Predictions for today's game. Bob Lee, what do you think?
Very good game, very close game, and I lost a coin flip. I've got to pick Virginia Tech out of respect to my buddy Hokie Jim.
Really? Okay.
Close, though. Within 6 points.
Art, what do you think?
I think the Tar Heels will win. I think this is their game. We've been to hump games before. We've been to hump games where we've been right there, and this is another one, that Tar Heel lore. I think this is the one we get over the hump, and we go on, and we have great games against Miami. We whip Duke and Durham, and then the World Series is going to be on October 27th. I mean, the World Series of football.
I'm also picking a Carolina win. This is the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz. Everybody, enjoy the game.